Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome to Burning Hearts with Rachel Herbeck. I'm Pete Burek, filling in for Rachel this week. This week, we've been talking about Galatians, jumping all over the book of Galatians, but we've kind of landed in Galatians chapter 5, and we talked about the desires of the flesh a couple days ago, and then yesterday we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, and I want to pick up that conversation right away because there's a whole lot more I want to say about this. The fruits of the Spirit, remember, are something that are tangible. They can be seen. They can be acknowledged. They can even be kind of measured in a way. Like, don't tell me that there's fruit in your life if nobody around you would see it. And so when we look at these fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you might be reading that list or hearing me list that grouping and say, Pete, I don't know if I check any of those boxes. When we listed the desires of the flesh, yeah, I could find myself in those, but man, I'm not sure if I'm loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle. I'm not sure I have self-control. So where do I start? So today we're going to talk about what it looks like to cultivate these fruits and to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, as Paul talks about. And I'm going to conclude with three postures, three dispositions of what it looks like to walk by the Spirit. But if you are feeling slightly overwhelmed by the list of the fruits, here's my number one tip for growing in the fruits of the Spirit is to sit down with your Bible, open up to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Slowly read verse 22 and 23 and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, which of these fruits do you want to grow in me right now? Which of these fruits? Because just like you would grow any plant, it starts with the seed of faith being planted in you that's watered by love and joy and intimacy with the Lord in cooperation with the Spirit. And over time, that fruit will blossom and develop in a way that can be harvested, that can be seen, that can be picked and be enjoyed. But if you say, I want all the fruits of the Spirit, it can be a little overwhelming. If you say like, wow, I need to grow in all of these, which we do. Each of us needs to grow in all of these. But what I found is if you ask the Holy Spirit, you don't guess, you ask the Holy Spirit which fruit to focus on, and to kind of like make a clear intention to grow in, that as you grow in that fruit, all the other fruits grow as well. Because if, let's just say the Lord says, yes, I want you to grow in patience. I think the Lord might be speaking to me right now. If he wants you to grow in patience, and you focus on patience, and you ask the Lord intentionally, Lord, help me be more patient. Give me the grace to be patient. And in the moments when patience is required, help me to rely on you. What you're going to find is you become more loving. You become more joyful. You're more peaceful. You're more kind. And therefore, you're more good. And the more good you become, the more faithful you become. And all the fruits ultimately serve each other, and they all grow as we develop each of them. But I found that over and over again is if you can focus on one or two and really intentionally align behaviors and practices towards the development of those fruits. And of course, the first posture is always, Lord, I need you. That a fruit of the Spirit always originates, is watered by, cultivated, sustained, and developed by the Holy Spirit. But if we can actually align behavior and a plan of action towards those, so for instance, if self-control is something you need to focus on, well, a simple behavior would be to fast, to begin to fast. Because in fasting, we are saying no to ourselves. I want that food, and no, I'm not going to have it. I'm choosing it to say no. But I'm going to choose to say no in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you focus on one of the fruits, all the other fruits will develop. So then, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. What are some ways for us to understand what it means to walk by the Spirit? I'm going to give you three postures of somebody who's walking by the Spirit. The first posture of somebody walking by the Spirit is a posture of surrender and reliance. The journey of walking by the Spirit actually starts with bowing our knee and proclaiming that Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, and the Holy Spirit, I am incapable of any good thing without you. Lord, I need you. And to acknowledge his lordship, to put him on the throne of our lives, and to ask for his Holy Spirit to fill us, and to say just over and over again, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. Holy Spirit, consume me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, you have permission to use me and move in me and invite me to anything. It's interesting. To walk by the Spirit starts with bending your knee, genuflecting first. That's the first posture. Bow. To lay flat on our face. To just get low and acknowledge his greatness. To in humility be like, whatever I have in me is a gift. Everything is a gift from you, Lord Jesus. And it's impossible for me to grow in these fruits without first deep reliance on you, foundational reliance on you, unchanging daily commitment to you being the Lord, to you being the source and the summit, to you being the foundation of everything of who I am, and everything that I will do begins and is sustained by and ends in you. Total, complete, unconditional surrender. Holding nothing back. To say, Lord, every aspect of my life is yours. My time, my talent, my treasure, my family, my reputation, my job, my desires, my free time, everything. Yes, even your free time. Even once you've been so good all day, when you sit down at the end of the day to say, Lord, this time is still yours. Even if I watch Netflix, it's still yours. And if you want me to do something else, I'll do it because it's yours and I acknowledge you first. So the first posture of walking by the Spirit is actually to bend your knee. The second posture is a posture of obedience, which is tied to the first posture. So we bend our knee, we rely completely on the Lord, and then we bow our head, or maybe better yet, we incline our ear and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you saying to me? What truth are you speaking into my heart? To walk by the Spirit is to be led by the Spirit, to be listening to the Spirit, to be attentive to the Spirit. We can't listen to the Spirit unless we believe that the Holy Spirit does indeed speak to us. It's a foundational kind of reality of a disciple is believing, actually believing, that God will, does, and wants to communicate to us. And not only does he want to communicate to us, and not only will he communicate to us, but we, through him, have the ability to recognize his voice, to actually hear his voice. And not only to recognize his voice, this is where it gets, I mean, this is the whole journey is amazing. God communicates. We have the ability to receive it as him, to see that it's actually him, to hear him, and then to do something about it, to act in accordance with what he's saying, to understand what he's saying. God has actually given us the ability to hear his voice, to understand it, and then to act on it. Which I know sounds so foundational, but it's so amazing how rarely we actually live this way. How rarely we actually walk through the world being like, yeah, God is speaking to me. He's communicating to me basically all the time. And through him, I have the ability to recognize his voice. And then he's given me the power to act in a way that is consistent with what he's saying. I've said it many, many times. The two foundational questions of a disciple. What's God saying to me and what am I doing about it? What's God saying to me and what am I doing about it? If you look at the lives of the saints, these men and women that we hold up with such esteem, rightfully so, one of the things that we see is they are preoccupied with God's will. They're just constantly, nearly second by second, saying, God, what is your will for me right now? What is your will? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And whatever it is, and then not only do they ask that second by second, but then they live it. And they're not perfect, but what you see in the lives of these saints is that day in, day out, that radical obedience, that radical posture of listening and obeying transforms you. And we marvel at the great things that these saints do. But the reason they do these great things for the Lord is because of the day in, day out commitment to God's will. I want to hear his voice and I want to act on it. And the reason they want to do it is not out of some sort of like slavery or subservient fear. It's because they love him, which is that first posture of surrender. When we surrender out of love for the Lord, we are drawn into an intimate relationship with him. And now we want to do what he wants us to do because he's so good and he's so faithful and he's so true. So first posture of walking by the Spirit is surrender. The second posture, so to bend your knee. Second posture is to incline your ear in obedience. And then the third is what I've kind of been alluding to. To walk by the Spirit is to walk, to move, to actually do something. To not just remain forever in some sort of contemplative state where we don't actually go out and do the things that Jesus does. And it's a beautiful balance. It's a beautiful harmony. It's a beautiful kind of tandem of contemplation and action. Or as John Paul II called it, the contemplative inaction. There's a way at which each moment of our lives, we are capable in the Spirit of both being attuned to the Lord and kind of contemplating him and being intimate with him while also doing the things, putting our hand to the plow and accomplishing the tasks that he's put before us. And each person at different times and maybe by disposition may be drawn to emphasizing one or the other. In our American church, we tend to be overemphasizing the action instead of the contemplation, right? We're very action-oriented. What's the point of doing something unless we do something? You know, it's like, well, we don't want to waste time. We want to be efficient. We want to produce things. There's definitely times when that is out of balance. But to be in that beautiful harmony of contemplative, abiding, and becoming, sitting at the feet of Jesus and doing. And this is what we see in the Gospels with the disciples. This is what we see in the church is these men and women given over to this idea of, I want to be completely united to the Lord. I want to become him. And I want to do the things that he does. This is what it means to be a disciple. And what the Spirit does in us is connects us to Jesus in intimacy and great love, transforms us, but then empowers us to go be his hands and feet, to actually go out and do things, to impact the world, to preach in a way that draws people into this same reality, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim liberty to captives, to draw people, to build the church, to bless the nations, to renew the world, and to accomplish God's will on the earth. So to walk by the Spirit is to bend your knee, incline your ear, and then take a step. I'm going to say it again. To walk by the Spirit is to bend your knee and surrender, to incline your ear, to listen in obedience, and to just take a step in action. This has been Burning Hearts with Rachel Herbeck. I'm Pete Burak, filling in for Rachel. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.